CPAPI back in the province. I gotta get all fixed up here so I can talk to you on one of these hour tapes, I guess. It's been, seems like it's kind of nice to get back to this little room, but I've got an awful lot of work to do. It also seems real difficult to get back in the swing of things. I went back to the office this afternoon, and by golly, there was that old stack of papers up there, a lot of stuff to go through. I've still got my inventory to make and a lot of things. But I'll start first from leaving you. Went right aboard that old plane and took right off. Didn't waste a minute. And had a nice seat in 17A. And the flight was very smooth, and I read a little while and just fiddled around. And the first thing I know, here we are back in Saigon, and I got off the plane, went through the customs. There's my man, Mr. Khan, right there waiting for me. Everything is real good. And I gave a fellow on the plane was going down where Steve is. I gave him his letter and gave him the mail for Kanto. He said he had some to mail to send to Kanto anyway. And so it went right off without any problem at all. Didn't even have to go downtown. I just got in the scout and came home and drove right on the ferry. Came across and got here at before 1 o'clock. I left you at 8 o'clock and was here before 1. How about that? That's pretty good sailing for a long distance. 1,400 miles, 1,450 miles. And made it real quick. In fact, got into Saigon at 10:15 this morning. That's a real good ride. I'm real happy. When I got home, what do you think? Bev Eckhart is still here. I thought she was supposed to go home yesterday, but she missed the plane for some reason or other, and I've got to send a car up tomorrow to take her to Saigon. So, but I guess she'll be home the day after, or maybe tomorrow night. Everything looks the same right here, not a bit of change. It's cool. Now, everything is real comfortable and cool. A guy came in a while ago in the house and said that they dropped 4 mortars in last night, but those mortars, they land downtown or someplace. Anyway, when I went to work at 2 o'clock, and there was a big pile of papers there, I sorted them out, got the most important ones put off to one side, took care of the immediate action, and I think everything's under good control. I had a briefing this evening at 5 o'clock that I was late to, and got to see Kotzebue then. But here I am in my cool little room, and it's almost 9 o'clock at night. And since Beverly's going back tomorrow, I think I'll run this tape off, at least one side of it, and send it with her. Maybe she can mail it. She said she'd call you when she gets back, but maybe if I give that tape to her, this one to her, she can get it to you in a day or two, and maybe then you'll get a little bit of my feeling on my week's visit with you. Maybe I can tell you how much I enjoyed the whole thing, sitting here in my room talking, better than I could tell you sitting there and trying to make conversation. Here now I can sit by myself and go back over the week and tell you maybe item by item how much I enjoyed being with the one I love. I want to thank you first for going out on the golf course with me and spending the time you did. I know it's a little bit of a trying time for you, but I sure appreciate you going out and keeping me company. I think I have more fun with you when you're around, because if I hit a good one, I look up to see if you're applauding me, and if I hit a pro or somebody, then I need your moral support so that I don't fall apart and not shoot any more golf. But as I say, I want to thank you very much for going out for me. I sure do love having you walk around with me, and I think when you skip them holes and wait for me that it's not too tiring for you, and you get to stay with me all day. It's better than sitting in the clubhouse. And then the nights when we were together and re-doctoring your poor ears, I sure do feel sorry for your poor ears, but I'm sure that if you go to the doctor, that you've done probably today, he'll look at him and say that you need some kind of medicine and give you something that'll heal them right up. I don't know why it is that these things happen. You've had a little piece of bad luck there with your hair, but I don't think it's something very unusual. It's something that you've done before that hadn't happened. That'll probably never happen again. And then I enjoyed going to the movie with you, and enjoyed going out to Mary's for dinner. And all in all, I enjoyed every bit of things. Here comes somebody at the door. Old Rosa just came in, and we had a little chat for about half an hour, and interrupted my little talk to you. In the meantime, I got the television on, Andy Williams show, with Lauren Green up there making some kind of a thing, everybody laughing. So I'll watch a little while. Rosser just came over to get his shirt. So he just really likes it. He thinks it's the prettiest shirt he ever did see. And I'm glad he does, because I think it's a pretty short also. I guess I better get back to telling you about how I appreciated my visit with you. The only thing that you're going to make me very angry about is not learning how to talk into that speaker. I almost had you down there talking to me for a while, but you don't want to do it. Well, that's something else. Anyway, we had the trip over to Sangley was really nice. I brought the tennis balls home today, and the guys, I give a can to Judd Starr, Captain Starr. He plays tennis with me a lot. And he was down to borrow a racket and get a can of balls. So the trip out to Sangley was really a nice visit. Get to visit and take a ride, visit with you ladies. And I enjoy all that. It takes my mind off things, and I think about the old Navy. Get to see the old Navy. If I don't get those little trips to the Navy every now and then, I forget all about it. Then also riding in the car, that's a relaxation and a different than what I normally do. So I want to tell you how much I appreciated that. Then, of course, Mary's dinner and two pieces of chocolate pie. She'll never get over that. I'm sure that she'll tell old Steve all about that, and we'll hear about that for as long as we ever see her, the two pieces of chocolate pie. You know, just to break off of my visit for a minute, I've got a burning sensation tonight, and it seems like I'm keep going to the bathroom with urinating. I can't understand that. I just can't urinate much, and it's like your dad used to be when he had prostatitis. But boy, this is something. I came home and had some bread, bun mi, and peanut butter, and that's all. I had a peanut butter sandwich, and I drank a Pepsi Cola. That's all I had. Then I didn't go to chow tonight, but I came home and had a bowl of chili and some more of that bread, and ate some and a root beer. And boy, I got a terrible burning, real bad burning sensation. So it looks like we're in business again. And it looks like I'm going to have to get some medicine to put out the fire down there. But that's mostly a temporary thing, I hope, anyway. Let's pray that it is. Well, anyway, back to Manila and the peaceful Sunday that I had with you, and a nice surprise going to the church and listening to that minister from Vietnam. And then peacefully being with my baby all the time. I sure wish I could stay with you always. I sure wish I could be with you all the time. And I want to tell you again how sweet you look, and how pretty you are when you don't carry any weight extra much. And that's the way I feel about myself. I feel like I'm pretty too when I don't have much weight, but I'm sure that I'm going to lose some and get it in a little better shape. But you're the nicest person in the whole world, and I just think you're all mine. and pretty soon you're going to be here with me. So I want to tell you again, it was just like I'm not got in the swing of things yet, and I feel real good. I've got a lot came off my mind, and everything looked easy to handle since I've been here today. So I know the vacation was worth it. Now, I've got to, I found out I got to go down to get the payroll next Monday, a week from today, for some reason or other. They're having a conflict with the military payroll, so we're going to have to, I'll go have to go down and pick it up earlier. Then I had, we made some awards, commendations and awards that I got, just got back in this last week, and so we're going to give them out to about 8 people. Also, I've got to go over to Gokong and inspect that place. Also, I've got to go to hold this inventory, and I've got to get started on that in the morning. Surprise, surprise, when tonight, after everybody had left, I saw on my desk an invitation, and I opened it up, and it was something like Com's invitation to her wedding. It was all fancy, gussied up, and I, Tun was standing there by me. Him and I were alone in the office. I said, "This looks like a wedding invitation." I said, "Who's going to get married, I wonder?" And he said, "Well, who was those people down there?" And I said, "Tun." And so Tun is going to get married to Kotu on the 28th. That's this Saturday and Sunday. And I'm a son of a gun. He came up to the house tonight. You know what he wants? He wants me to buy him 6 cases of beer, 3 cases of Coke, 6 bottles of whiskey, and that's only for his party here. He wants me to buy about the same thing for Kotu down in Kanto. Now, mind you, he's gonna go down there on Saturday. They're gonna be married and have dinner with their family, with her family. Then he's going to come up here on Sunday and have a dinner here. Now, on top of all this booze and stuff, he wants to borrow a scout so that he can drive down there on Friday and get married on Saturday, and so he can come back here on Sunday and have his dinner here for the people here on this side. How about that? I just knew that he was going to put it on me, lay it on me. And when he came to the house. But I didn't know he's going to lay it on me so heavy. I asked him how you can go down there and get married on Saturday, and how you can drive from Kanto up here on Sunday and have a party for people. I said, your wife, he's going to take his mother with him. I said, your wife and everybody is going to make it. They're going to be pooped out. You won't even be able to get around. I said, you ought to change your plans. I said, you can't have that on one weekend. I said, it's too big a party. too big a deal, too far to go. But he's given me something to think about. Always something to think about. Too bad, too bad. Anyway, I'm gonna have to do some thinking. Old Grossman, kid that an FSO that we got up in Trukyang. I guess you never met him yet. You'll meet him when you come. He ran over a guy on a bike this morning and put him in the hospital. So it looks to me like an accident report will have to go out on it. I got the word on it this afternoon, and he came in tonight just as I was going to briefing, and I gave him some forms, and tomorrow he'll go over and see the police with Ross Roser, and everything will be all right, I guess. I hope so anyway. He's a real nice boy. Oh, guess what? Tom Carter brought in the Godfather while I was had the class tonight, and the front cover pages tore off of it. I don't know why, and I don't know where it was. I'll ask him about it first chance I get. But anyway, the Godfather's back. What shall I do with it? Wait till you come? I guess I will now. It won't do me much good to send it back since it's already badly used. I gave that to Tom to read, I'm sure. Grossman might have got a hold of it. Anyway, the front page was tore off of it. But it looks like he's been in a fight someplace. I guess one should never lend one's books, huh? But I can't get attached to paperbacks for some reason or other like I do other than cloth-bound books. Now, we get a lot of paperbacks for free here. Anyway, I don't know why they tear that cover off of the front of it, but it's back, and because it is torn off, I wouldn't want you to return it to Helen in that condition. So we'll just have to keep looking around till we can find one, or we can buy one. Maybe if you go down to the bookstore, they'll have one in there. And down at the seafront. Well, there wasn't any mail from anybody when I got home, except there was a bank statement on the checking account. And there was a letter from Hal Patterson to one of the Vietnamese. And there was a bill from Sears and Roebuck for $79 or $95, something like that. So I'll have a few piastres in my pocket here before too long, since I'll get COCOM. COCOM will give me the piaster. I don't know how many she'll owe me. Let's see, 90, 270, it'll be about 20,000, I guess. Well, everyone here seems to be all right. Nothing happened during my absence, so I guess they're waiting for me to come back before they start some action. But I'm not looking for any action. When I came through Trukyang today, I looked out there and I said to Mr. Khan, I said, where's all the VC? And the VC out here? And he said, no more. So I guess there hasn't been any action up in Trukyang for a number of days. But I don't think there's any action in this country, in this little town. Lots of action going around, but I think not too much. They're going to have to dig deep in the mud to bring up some of their ammunition. Well, I would like to get a letter from some of the people back home, Lou, Charlie, Mary and Jim. Let's see, who else do I know? I guess that's all. We don't supposed to get much mail from people that don't write to. But I tell you what you do, honey, you make some of them nice presents again. You got, I see there's some of that stuff kind of antiques that you might buy a few pieces of. Like those ashtrays, they're pretty good. I don't know about the candle holders. But for gifts, that kind of wood that Mary had in some of that shape is real pretty for some people like that. I'm sure that Allie and his wife would like some, probably Carol, for taking care of Lou. I don't know. Maybe I'm asking too much. But if you do something for some people that don't expect it, they always think a lot of you. And that's, but you can't do too much for everybody. That's the way with these Vietnamese. I look at things a little different now. I'm not going to be so easy. I'm going to be just level-headed in giving out stuff. I'm going to be pretty particular who gets things. That's what kind of sets me goofy with old Tuan. Jesus, he wants to borrow the scout, wants all that booze. I ought to tell him he ought to have a party without any booze. He'd probably be better off. But they do like to have it to give beer and Coca-Cola, like to have it on hand to give out. I don't blame them. I guess if I could, I would too.
I don't know whether I told you this or not, but I supplied all of Co-Com party with beer. I think I got her 12 cases of beer. Isn't that outrageous? Well, so much for that. Honey, I've got to go to bed. I had to go to bed. This is the next morning. So, I've got to get this tape out so I can give it to Bev, however. But I had a good night's sleep. It's now 5:30 in the morning. And you'll notice that I talk and feel a whole lot different than I sound a lot different than I did last night. I feel real refreshed this morning. So I might start on the other side of this tape and talk for a little while longer if this runs out. Anyway, this morning I love you more than ever. And I want you to write to me, and I know you have. And I'll be looking forward to hearing from you. I don't know why, but my thoughts keep going back to Colorado. And I think that I would like to go home for a while. Just talking to Rosser, he's going home pretty soon. But he says the States isn't like it should be, isn't too hot. There's always something going on that's wouldn't like, but then there ought to be something going on that we do like too, right? I hope so anyway. I'll sure be glad when the time comes up. When my time comes up, but gee whiz, we got a lot to do yet this year. We got this whole year to spend, and it's only March and April. So, anyway, I love you on this side of the tape, as you know, you can tell by now, and I want you to practice to try and to send me a tape back. These hour-long tapes are quite a bit to fill, but you said you're going to read letters to me and send them, and that'll be fine. I think it'll be real good. These tapes I bought down at the PX don't have any package to wrap them in, so I got to send some of these expensive ones that I got at RPX, at the PX here in Kinawa. Well, honey, take care of yourself, and remember how much I love you. It's a nice, fresh morning this morning. If you have any luck, you'll get this tape tomorrow, which will be the 24th, I guess. I wish you were here this morning so that I could sneak over and get a little kiss. But I'm here at my little table talking, having a cup of coffee, and thinking of you, always. I always think of you. I love you so much, sometimes it hurts, again. Just like in our youthful days when we loved one another so much, and we couldn't have one another. We were just kids in high school. Remember all that? I think you're the most marvelous person that has ever born. And I know that I've told you a number of times, I'll tell you a number more, I hope, before we're through, that you're the best, absolute best, the sweetest, kindest, the loveliest, and you take care of Oak Cottage just the best way, so that he never has any problem.
Dear Florence, well, I guess this is my lucky day. Tom Carter said he's going to Saigon tomorrow, which is Sunday, and he'd be glad to take any mail I had going. And he's going down to USAID too, so I'm going to cut your tape tonight on the tape that you sent to me. And if he puts it in the box, it should be to you by Tuesday when somebody goes over to Manila. That will be a couple of days before you leave. because Tuesday will be the 6th, and you will be heading out this way on the 8th. I think that's pretty lucky for you and I. I've got a couple of tape or two and a letter or two heading your way, but you might not get them before you leave. There's a tape that I sent the other day that I sent on, this is Saturday, that I sent on Thursday, I guess, or maybe it got in the mail yesterday. And I just don't have a feeling you're going to get it. Then I had a letter that I'd written 2 days before that, but I don't know whether you'll get that or not, since it took 5 days for your letter to get to, my tape to get from Clark Airfield over to you. But be that as it may, you're getting to be a short timer, and you'll be here to visit me before very long. I had, today was Saturday, and I had to run over to my neighboring province, Gokong, today, and sign over some impress fund and money and so forth, and I got that all accomplished. So then I got back here about 3 o'clock. So that means that I had a full day on another province and a little bit of work here, although I had most of my work accomplished here. I'm cutting you a tape on Lou's new cassette recorder. I was fortunate enough to have one here in the PX, and although it's not as good as yours or mine, it's a Hitachi. It'll serve the purpose for Lou so that he can use it when he writes, and he can talk to people on cassette tape. At least he'll have something for you and I to send to him when we send the tape, and I'm sure that he'll enjoy every bit of it. So, what you're hearing now is what Lou will be listening in on when you write to him on your tapes. I'll cut him a tape tonight and package this up tomorrow and send it to him with the tape and instructions on how to use it. It's, as I say, it's a little cheaper than yours and mine, and consequently it's a little more difficult to use. Not too difficult, but a little more difficult than normal. But I'm sure he'll enjoy it. At least you and I'll enjoy writing to him, and he can sit down and talk to us without straining his with pain and straining to write with his poor old hands. As you can see, I saved that side of the tape that you wanted to save that I had written. I don't know why you want to save it. If you get these tapes time after time, you'll probably hear the same thing over and over. There isn't even any newer ways that I know how to say I love you, but you flatter me when you say you want to save a tape that I've said something that you particularly like. However, the reason I'm sending this back to you with this side tape is because I don't want to keep my own voice here. I would like to keep your tape, but you only run off a few minutes, and and then rung me in some of that Frank Sinatra music. I don't know, I think if these tapes are too long, we just have to get some shorter ones so that you can use them all up. But as you get practice in using these things, you'll find out that you don't have to say everything at once. You can stall off for a few minutes or a few hours or a few days if you want to. If you just sit down and relax for a little while, write down a few subject heads you want to talk about, and then spiel them off for 3 minutes, shut the thing off and go about your way, and when you think of something you want to talk about, write it down. Then when you sit down, you'll have enough material so that it isn't too difficult for you to fill out at least one half of the side of these hour tapes. I don't particularly think that my tapes are any great jazz, but I just talk mostly about what's going on here and start out with the beginning of the day, say, and lead you through the day, talk about the gossip that I have and so forth. And talk about the people that we talk about all the time. I'm looking forward to your visit, however, so that we can talk face to face and pelvic bone to pelvic bone, breast to breast, things like that. So I can look into your deep brown eyes and as you tell me about your burning ears, and we'll enjoy it that much better being that close to one another, I think, don't you? I don't know whether I can take you over to my other province or not. I'd like to. It's a real short ride over there. I'm going to start. I think I'll take the scout over. It's just like driving over to Meetah. And then it's only about 45 minutes from Meetah up toward, like you go to the Saigon area. It's a real pacified area. I don't anticipate any trouble, but I don't know whether my old friend John Van would smile at me taking you out in the scout or not, so I'm not going to give him a chance to raise any hoopla about it. I think if we go anyplace, we'll have to fly. And they've already put out an order that they were not supposed to fly you folks around in the province. But I've told you on the tape I've sent that John Pitts and I decided to stay in Saigon on the night of the 8th and fly out on the 9th, so that'll put us down here in Kinwa about 10:30 or 11 o'clock on the 9th. We won't have to make the run down in the scout from Saigon, nor will we have to spend the night in Canto listening to all the traffic. We can spend the night in Saigon listening to all the traffic. Well, right now it's about 6 o'clock in the evening. I knocked off a little early tonight when I got home. Tun is down in Canto. This is Saturday afternoon. We now only work 5.5 days a week. So Saturday afternoon is supposed to be one of our days off for all of our employees, but I keep one girl on for duty and the mechanics around. So when I came back from Gokong tonight, there was two girls there, and I asked Kohom how come she was there when it wasn't her duty, and she said, oh, she just liked to work with that other girl, and I said, okay, you work for free for the other girl. That's fine. Anyway, I did have the rest of the crew working at painting. So when I go in over to Gokong, I packed a shirt and changed the skivvies in case I stayed overnight. So when I came home, I just locked up or come out of the office and, well, I picked up this recorder is what I did. Came on home to see what it looked like and got involved in it, and here I am. And I never went back to the office to lock up, but go home and the little girl that works in the PX came in. I'd left the payroll out. We have payroll in envelopes, you know, and I given it to go home to pay while I was gone, and there's three or four envelopes left, and I'd forgot to lock them up, so she had to bring them up here to my room to so that I'd be safe for the night. And I got interested in this tape, and I thought, well, I'll just go ahead and start the thing, and I won't play tennis tonight. I'll spend a little time talking to Florence. Then I'll eat some of those clams she sent me, and I got the packages today, the golf balls, the newspapers for Vic, and all the Jell-O, and the clams, and the smoked oysters, and boy, that looks pretty nice. So I thought, well, I'll just unpack my packages, and then I'll talk to Florence, and then I'll eat something after a while. Then I'll finish up my tape, and I'll have it all ready to go Sunday morning so Tom can take it with him when he goes. And I think you're going to be pretty happy when you get this tape and when you hear that I've got a tape recorder for Lou. I know you're going to sit right down and write him a tape probably before you leave Manila. And you're going to tell him that you're sure glad that he's got some tape so that he can listen and he can turn around and write to you. Well, I think I'll take a little breather now. As I said, it's 6 o'clock. I'm kind of hot and tired. I think I'll eat a little bit, take a bath. Say, you know what I need most of all? I guess I need some boxer shorts. I guess these shorts I wear now are irritating me, and the box of shorts I got is the ones I use for pajamas, and they're a little bit big and baggy. I need something that's a little bit more comfortable with the leg in it, I guess, than the way these boxers are. However, I can wear the boxers. If you happen to be any place where they have them, maybe they got some in PX. I even forgot to look. I'll have to check around down there. Well, never mind. We can look in the catalog, I guess, and order them when you get here. Okay? I'll see you after a while. Okay, baby. This is now after a while. I took a little break. It's about 9 o'clock now. I took a little break and went down to take the papers to Vic. Say, you sent him quite a few Manila papers. He'll be real busy for all day Sunday to get to read them. Well, down where he lives, there's about 1, 2, 3 Filipinos live down there, so they'll all get to enjoy them, and I'm sure that they'll thank you very much. Vic told me to be sure and tell you the last time you sent papers that he would, he really appreciated them and thank you very much for them. Well, you're a thoughtful gal to do that, and you're always thinking of doing something for somebody that really appreciates it, that don't have that kind of assistance to give them, like I don't think anybody ever sends them anything. They get mail, of course, but they sure do appreciate those papers. Well, I appreciate the paper, too. I like things that you send me. The package you sent today with the tennis balls, boy, and all that jello, and there's some raisins I'm going to eat. The maid makes the jello for me, you know. She's learned how to make jello. I'll have to save that pudding for when you get here so you can make that lemon pudding and that other kind of custard pudding, but and also the cake bake you made, you'll have to bake me a cake when you come in. But I appreciate those little gifts. They're always nice to receive something, and you say you like to have something to do to send me. Well, I'm thoroughly convinced now that your friend on the upper story there in your place is really one of them kind, because she broke her arm. She's been out flitting around. It's I hope she don't fall off of that balcony. They still got their guest, house guest they had. It would be too bad if something happened to her, but they're usually like old Ruthie. They're accident prone, and they have a death wish of some kind that maybe not be exactly a death wish, but it's a destructive power that's really hard to get rid of. And booze and dope do nothing but help that devastating, destructive force. It's really tough for people to live like that. I'm speaking from experience, of course, but I feel sorry for them. I really do. And I hate to see anybody have to suffer like that. Of course, you've got to, there's nothing you can do about it until you admit the fact, realize the fact, and seek professional help. It's just too hard to try and do the thing yourself. You can't do it. You got to have a lot of, a spiritual backing to do it. I don't know whether I've done it myself, but I had you, so I had more than spiritual backing. I had some physical backing that was in front of me every day of our married life together, and boy, it's the biggest help. It's just like bringing a drowning man in out of the water on solid ground. That's what you were like to me. And you say that sometimes I say some things that make you feel happy. These are things that I like to talk about to make me feel happy. My love for you... when you say that I make you feel happy, I feel rewarded somewhat, because I owe you so much that I could spend 10 lifetimes trying to pay back some of the things that you've given me in my life and still never have it half done. It's a real fine feeling to know that you've come from something like poor old Helen and overcome it and are able to face the world alone and feel satisfied that you're doing some good. Perhaps one day if I get a definite goal, then this good will be manifested in to others. I don't think I'm doing enough today that I should be doing for other people. But maybe I'll develop in a year or two, and maybe then I will have an opportunity. But I keep asking the good Lord to please give me the strength and give me the intelligence and give me all the qualities I need to be beneficial to mankind. And he's helping me a lot. He's doing everything he can. I feel sorry for the Lord with all his problems to try and work on a guy like me that's a bullheaded, that he has little problems of keeping his temper down. Now, that's a heck of a thing to run into for a guy that wants to help somebody, wanting to double up his fist and punch somebody in the nose every time he gets crossed, but that's the thing I have to fight all my life, and that's how you help me out so much. And you're a real fine girl for doing it. So don't feel too bitter about your neighbor. She's got a real burden, and her husband has too. And you just can't be too cozy with those people, or they'll smother you to death, as you know, in two cases right there. So I think that with the experience that you've had, you know just about how to treat them. Be nice and do everything you can, but just keep your distance. That is a must, because, as I say, they'll enclose you and fold you and enwrap you until you can't breathe. And knowing you, if you can't breathe properly, you're going to have lots of problems. You think being closed up in an elevator is bad, but you're all right. You take care of yourself real good, and you have an outlet with Mary and other people, and I'm glad, because Mary's the kind of folks we understand, and her husband is too. And I think we enjoy their company mostly, but we enjoy one another's company mostly, and that's what we're going to be enjoying next week at this time. Anyway, I'm kind of sorry to hear about Garcia, a woman. I had no idea that she was sick when I saw her first time. I know that you probably have seen more of her since she's done more for you than me, and I know you probably feel pretty bad about it, but life goes on that way. This thing happens all the time. And we're very fortunate, you and I. We never have anything wrong with us except burnt ears once in a while. And I'm getting some kind of a sore on my little toe with these shoes I bought from Sears and Roebuck. Something like a corn coming on there, I guess. I've been playing tennis, and I notice that it bothers me quite a bit when I take my shoe off. There's a little burning there. Hasn't been so bad today, but it's there. But what a minor ailment for me. It seems like there just isn't anything wrong with me. I never have any problems at all. Well, that's good enough. Who wants problems anyway? Say, you haven't heard from my old dad, I guess. You'd have told me about it. I probably owe them a letter. I guess I better write to them, and as you say, I better write to my sister, too. But I'll do that someday when the Spirit moves me. I don't follow your logic, saying because I can talk to you on the tape, I got lots of time to type. This tape takes me a little longer to make than a typewriting, but I can say a thousand more thoughts in the tape than I can on the typewriter. If I copied this down verbatim on a typewriter, what I'm telling you, I'd have about a whole book full of a letter with maybe 100 pages on both sides, because there's a lot being said here that we don't realize in this sort of a conversational letter. And I'm sure that it's much more interesting, although it goes on and on. But I think listening to this, you'll have to do the same as we do in talking. You'll just have to shut it off and go take a walk and come back again at a later time. You don't have to listen to all of it at once. It's hard to keep a new thought going or bring in a new thought quickly, as you well know. So it's maybe I should get me a spiel like Bob Hope and keep you rolling them in the aisle, keep rolling them in the aisles with my wit and humor and fast-paced conversation. But that's not the way we do things, although this is pretty good training to keep one talking for some time. It's really makes one stretch his mind a little bit to improve himself, and about half the time he has to think ahead so that he can break into something new by the time he finishes with what he's been talking about. But I think our greatest advantage to these sorts of letters is the fact that we got a little button here, and when you run out of something to talk about, all you have to do is press the button, give yourself a couple of seconds to think, and start talking again. Now, right now, for example, I'm getting kind of thirsty, so I think I'll just press my little button, go over and open me a can of root beer and have a swig, and then come back and tell you all about it. Hold on, I'll be back with my root beer. You know, speaking of root beer, I think I've found a remedy for my gallbladder ailment. You know, I told you that I had a little burning sensation. Well, I always remember your dad having some trouble with the bladder or something, where there was a pressure on there, but you couldn't do much. Well, I had that for a day or two, and I drank a lot of Pepsi Cola and was playing tennis and sweating a lot. But tonight, when I got those smoked oysters, I was listening to a news, so I opened a can of those oysters and ate some crackers, and they tasted so good I went back and opened another can, but I got thirsty. So I opened a root beer, and I soaked those smoked oysters in my belly with root beer. If that don't cure me, I don't know what will. So that's the remedy. I think I've got a remedy to solve my problem. So if I end up, if this tape ends up all right, you'll know I'm in good health. And I think it's going to end up all right, because I'm feeling stronger as I go along. So I'm going to start talking about us going home, I think. I got a card today. It's one of my MacV cards or check cards or something, and it had November 1971. Was when it expired, so I guess that's the date they got for me to expire. or to go home. So I'm going to have to go up to Saigon and find out the next time I'm up there just what day it is or when I'm scheduled to go back home, when we're scheduled to leave. Say, what do you think about moving out of Glarmin into one of those houses? I think that that experience of your friend who was back visiting you, Miss Wiseman, saying she'd sure like to be back there, that's probably indication enough that you better stay where you are as long as you can, because you'll probably miss that old apartment when you go, if you have to go and live in a house. I hope you don't have to go back there. I hope that on my next duty assignment that you get to come and live with me. That's what we're trying to do and working for. But anyway, I'll try and find out something when we go up to Saigon on the 8th. If we have an afternoon to kick around, we'll go over and talk to the personnel people and see if they can give us any indication on the lead time or the time we have to make up. I hope that I can find a good job. Old Tom Carter gave me a tip the other day in his business in the Foreign Service Department. They have areas where there's billets assigned. So he said, why don't you come over to my office and look through my book, I don't know what it's called, and see where these people are assigned and when they'll be available. He said there's no need to ask for a job someplace if there isn't going to be an assignment when you're available. So I'm going to have to go over and look through the world and see where there is an assignment for somebody of my category, an administrative assistant or a field support officer. Maybe I can change my plea and ask for a job someplace where a guy is going to be vacant. Well, baby, this tape's going to run out, so I'm going to let it go now and tell you how much I love you. And I'm sure that I hope you get it before you come. Anyway, this is the final message I can send you, and I'm pretty sure you'll get it before you leave. And there's another tape on the way, too. Maybe if you don't get it now, it'll be ready by the time you get back home. So...